Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, do we have any country music fans in the room? I figured that'd be the case. Do you guys remember this John Michael Montgomery cover song that he did? The one that was kind of piggybacked off of, I think it was All for One who did it originally, the one that I Can Love You Like That. Do you remember that song? There was always a line in the chorus that kind of, confused me, kind of perplexed me a little bit, had me scratch my head. I know you're probably singing it already in your mind, but I'm going to read the chorus and it's going to make you sing it for the rest of the day. Okay. I can love you like that. I would make you my world. Move heaven and earth if you were my girl. Such an incredible song. Some powerful, powerful lyrics. All this emotion that's coming through. But the reason that I had a hard time with it is because, you know, I don't think that I've ever met a man who's moved heaven and earth for his girl or for his wife, right? Some of us men have a problem even moving over on the sofa when our wife wants to sit down next to us, all right? So these songs, and sometimes even movies, they have these grand statements that really are empty of any follow-through. They're empty of any action. They're empty of any actual sacrifice. Well, the last few weeks, we have been in a message series called Moving Mountains, and we have been looking each week at these experiences, these encounters that individuals in the Bible have had with God on the mountain top. And today, we're going to look at the mountain that supersedes all of those other mountaintop experiences. Because on this mountain that we're looking at today, love did move heaven and earth. It was on this mountain that we, as followers of Jesus, were given access to a relationship with God. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in John chapter 19. You can turn there with me. The New Testament book and Gospel of John, chapter 19, and we're going to start in verse 16. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." So this is the place that Jesus is crucified, according to the text. It's this place that he hung on the cross, and the scripture calls it the hillside of Golgotha. And this morning, I want to show you three proofs that the hill of Golgotha makes about Jesus. Now, maybe you're not familiar with that term, Golgotha. Maybe you're a little bit more familiar with a way that we've also said it, Calvary. Either way, it's two sides of the same coin. They mean the exact same thing. Golgotha is the Hebrew or Aramaic word for this, the place that Jesus is crucified, and Calvary is just its Latin counterpart, okay? But what's fascinating is that all four of the Gospels mention the word Golgotha. Now, you may be asking yourself, why is that important? Isn't that just part of the story? Well, here's the thing. This is what's interesting, right? Is that all of the Gospels, while they share the message of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and life, they're to different audiences. So they're trying to achieve a different aim, a different goal each time. So sometimes there are details that are included in one gospel that are not in another gospel because of what the author is trying to say to his audience about Jesus. For example, we looked at that last week, right? When we looked at the book of Matthew, and we saw that he included this large teaching of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. The other gospels don't have this entire teaching. What is Matthew doing? Matthew's trying to show his audience that Jesus is the new king who ushers in a new way of living, and therefore you should follow his teaching as king. So, why? Why do all of the gospels mention Golgotha? Well, in Hebrew and in the Latin counterpart Calvary, this means the place of the skull. And scholars have wrestled for thousands of years as to what exactly and where exactly this was. If you go to Jerusalem, some people will point to a place called Gordon's Calvary that they say this is where Jesus was crucified. But then others will say, no, that's not the place. Just because it looks like a skull, that doesn't necessarily mean that's where Jesus was crucified. It's because there were so many people who were killed, and they'll take you to a different place that's traditionally been thought of the place where Jesus died. But this morning, I want to submit to you where I think, along with a lot of modern scholars, where this was. Because there's a little small detail in John's gospel that we just read that's often overlooked. And I think it's going to help us understand where this site could be. So look back at verse 16 with me. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Who? Who did Pilate hand Jesus back over to? It's not the Roman officials. It's actually the Jewish leaders. He handed them back over to the Jews. So while Pilate had to give the okay for Jesus to be crucified, it's actually the Jewish leaders who lead Jesus to the place where he's going to be executed. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about Jewish law. Those leaders, they could not do that within the city. In the Old Testament law, anyone who was executed had to be taken outside of the city, or as the law says, outside the camp. They had to take them outside. So according to their own law, they had to crucify Jesus outside of Jerusalem. I think there's only one place that makes sense for this, the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives, it rests just east of Jerusalem and was the site for most of the Jewish executions that would happen underneath the law. Yet there's some incredible things about this spot that I think make it significant for Jesus' own death. First, let's give some background on this mountain range, okay? Like its name suggests, it is an olive grove. So covering the entire hillside of the Mount of Olives is an olive grove, an olive trees. And it's from these very olive trees that the olive oil that was used to anoint the kings of Israel is taken. And some scholars even say that when Jesus was there that night, he was arrested. He's in the Mount of Olives and he's praying. They even say that that was his anointing for the mission he was going to have as Messiah. And the word Messiah even means anointed one. Another significant event that Jewish prophecy points to, is occurring at this place, is that this is the place that the Jews believe that Messiah was going to set himself up. This is where he was going to be. But it's no irony that Jesus himself is at this exact mountain range whenever he gives the longest address that he does in all of his public ministry about the end of the world and his second coming. So this mountain, Golgotha, it proves Jesus' identity as the Messiah. Yet there's something even more incredible about this particular spot that points to Jesus' mission as the sacrifice for our sins. We have to look all the way back into the Old Testament and the practice to understand it. But when the priest would make a sacrifice. They would sacrifice on two different altars. The first altar was where the blood would be sprinkled on in the temple. And then they would take that sacrifice outside of the camp, again, according to the law, outside of the camp, and they would burn it. Now, there's another very important, significant, and highest and holy day in Jewish culture called the Day of Atonement, in which one single red heifer would be taken, and it would be sacrificed to atone and cover over the people's sin. Can you guess where that sacrifice took place? The Mount of Olives. So, the very thing that died in the place of and saved the people from the guilt and judgment of their sin was sacrificed on this very mountain. In this way, Golgotha proves Jesus' love as our Savior. And here's why. Because Jesus knew his mission. He knew, like John the Baptist said, that he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was our substitute. He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God. See, Jesus knew his reason for coming. In fact, over and over again, Jesus actually tells his disciples, he predicts his own death. He told them that he was going to be handed over to the Jewish leaders, that he would be killed, and that he would rise again. So Jesus' death at Golgotha was really the first act of what he had prophesied about himself. He knew he was going to die, but he also knew 3 days later that he would rise again and he would defeat sin and death forever. So while Jesus' death at Golgotha proved his love as our Savior, his death also proved his word to us as God. Jesus finished his mission and was raised back from the grave to show that he is God alone. And all that we have to do is trust and believe him at his word. Do we believe that he is who he says he is? Do we believe that he is indeed the risen Son of God, sacrificed for our sin, but resurrected in power and sitting at the right hand of God as King? Pastor Ronald shared a few weeks ago something really profound as we were kind of moving through these mountaintop experiences. So the same place that Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac, Mount Moriah, is the same place that David asked God to establish a temple for worship. Yet it gets better than that. It's the same place just outside Jerusalem, at this place of the skull, that Jesus would be sacrificed. So catch this. The very place where God provided a substitute for Isaac, he provided one for you and I. And the very spot where God promised David an heir that would be king in his line forever, Jesus' obedience by being our sacrifice makes him the forever reigning king. But best of all, the place where David wanted to set up a temple for people to come and to worship God, Jesus made a way through his death for anyone who believes in him to worship God from wherever they are. But listen, all of that would be in vain outside of the last and most significant detail of the Easter story. Golgotha may have proved Jesus' title, his role, and his message, but the resurrection proved that Jesus is God. And he is alive, church. Risen and reigning forever and ever and ever. You know, we started this message with a song, and I'd like to end it with the words of another song. They're going to be up on the screen for you to kind of read through as well. I've heard it said that a man would climb a mountain just to be with the one he loves. How many times has he broken that promise? It has never been done. I've never climbed the highest mountain, but I walked the hill of Calvary. just to be with you, I'd do anything. There's no price I would not pay. Just to be with you, I'd give everything. I would give my life away. And I know that you don't understand the fullness of my love, how I died upon the cross for your sins. And I know you don't realize how much that I gave you, but I promise I would do it all again. There's only one who actually demonstrated the depth of love by moving a mountain. The mountain that separated you and I from God. The mountain of what sin has earned us. The mountain of death. The mountain of the skull, of Calvary, of Golgotha. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you moved mountains for us because of your love, because of your mercy, not because of anything that we have done, but only by your goodness and your love for us. Father, I pray this morning that we wouldn't walk away from this place not knowing how you have loved us, that you've given your own son and that he is risen and reigning as our king forever. Help us to be confident in that truth, we pray. In Jesus' name.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.